Hi, I'm Shannon. Wait, I'm not
Shannon.
I'm already drunk.
Suce un sac de bi.
Jargarita.
Jargarita.
I literally made margaritas in a jar tonight in a mason jar. At a mason jar full of lime juice, and I just like dumped a bunch of alcohol and sugar in it and shook it up, and that's what I've been drinking all night. Shit's strong as fuck, man.
Shannon's on the drunk train. Chug a chug a drunk. Yeah. I hadn't been drinking at all for a while. And then I went down to Oberlin and drank with my brother and his wife, and my heartburn nearly killed me.
Hello, friends. We have a new friend on tonight with us. Our friend Allison is joining us.
Woo! Welcome, Allison.
Thank you.
She is one of our cool mom friends, and her heart breaks for RBG like ours. So I was like, you got to join us tonight.
The toaster shows you how much my heart breaks.
I can't believe you bought that. Oh, my God. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg dies, and we'll get to the good stuff in a second. And so everyone gets on Etsy and shit, right, and starts buying RBG stuff. And Allison's like, I sent my husband to Walmart and Howell to get me a Funko Pop. And so I'm on, like, Amazon just shooting the shit, like, RBG, Amazon, send. And then I found a fucking toaster that will burn Ruth's face into your toast. And I sent Allison the link. I was like, you should get this. And Allison, what'd you do?
I replied, it'll be here by 9 p.m. Monday. And it's now on my kitchen table.
Have you tried it out yet?
I haven't tried it out yet.
Disappointment.
And that's why Allison's here, actually. She was like, you need to come over and we need to eat toast and day drink. I was like, I'll do you one better. How about you come be on my podcast and we'll talk about it?
I put on my beautiful necklace and your it on backwards.
Your descent collar?
It's my descent collar necklace. Yeah. So we're going to talk more about RBG because we have a lot to talk about with that. And I just don't feel like we really need to like dive into the deep end right away. So Shannon,
yes.
What have you been watching?
I have continued to watch Community since I think I brought it up 2 episodes ago. I'm almost done. I'm in the beginning of season 6. And damn, like, that shit's toxic. That show jumped the shark in season 2, and I don't know how it stayed on TV. Like, every episode is crazy, off the wall. And yes, it's delightful and fun. But they just start turning their wheels, turning hard, like at least in season 5. And I don't know how they got a season 6 out of that. So, but we'll see how it ends. I forget how it ends. I might have lost interest in it around season 6 originally because I'm not remembering some of the stuff. So, but I love the paintball episodes. I love fun, crazy Floor is Lava, like, anytime the school goes off the rail for some sort of game, like, I am there 1,000%. But, like, Annie needs to grow the fuck up.
Yes.
And, like, Jeff needs to move on. Actually, everyone needs to move on. They are so codependent. They're such codependent and toxic relationships that I'm like, I don't know how this show lasted anymore.
Donde esta biblioteca? Me llamo Tibon, la araña discoteca, discoteca, muñeca, la biblioteca, es un bigote grande, pero manteca, manteca, bigote, gigante, pequeño, cabeza es nieve, cerveza es bueno, buenos días, me gustas papas frías, bigote de la cabra es Cameron Diaz. Yeah, boy.
Taking that out and making that our new intro.
Be impressed with my party trick.
I am so impressed that you remember all that.
Impressed too.
Well, Spanish was my minor in college, so it does help to know what they're saying.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense. Like,
no, it doesn't. Yeah. Where is the library? My name is T-Bone, the disco spider. Disco doll. Discoteca, muñeca, library. It's a giant mustache, dog, lard.
They just like rhyme a bunch of Spanish words.
But it sounds good.
Right? You think they're saying something fun, but they're like literally fucking talking gibberish.
Yeah.
The
last two lines are like my good day. I like cold potatoes. The mustache of the goat is Cameron Diaz.
Right. I do miss Troy. Like Troy, I don't know if he ever comes back. Do you remember if he ever comes back?
I don't remember.
I think he comes back at the end of season 6, but like there was a lot of issues with Chevy Chase being a racist dick and so like half the cast left with him.
But also he got real famous.
Yes.
You know, and also did all his music and shit.
Yeah. So, but him and Abed had a real special relationship, and I miss that.
Troy and Abed in the morning.
Guys, there's no camera.
Well, I finally finished. I've been like walking my way through it slowly because I was enjoying it so much. I finally finished What We Do in the Shadows.
We were watching that too to get like together. So it's hard to get like my husband retreats to the basement, so it's hard to get him back up to like watch it with me, and I'm like, we're watching that together, so I haven't finished it.
Oh god damn, it's so good.
Good.
It's, how about I'm such a fan.
How about you, Allison? What you watching? Anything good?
So Jonathan has talked me into watching all of the Marvel movies in chronological order of when they take place, not when they were released.
Ooh, nice. The machete order. I love it.
Yes. So that has taken up most of our time. We have found a couple. We like to watch a sitcom during dinner. Now, this is going to be probably controversial for some people, but my kids watching their iPads with their headphones on while we eat is like the best thing that's ever happened to me. I just like really like to eat without them talking to me. And we talk a lot, so I don't feel super guilty about it, just a little bit guilty. And of course, if they wanted to sit with us, they're welcome, but they prefer it that way too, so it works out. So we will turn on something sitcom-y, mindless kind of things. We used to watch The Good Place during that time. So we watched Outmatched. Jason Biggs is in this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Their kids are terrifying because they're like all super geniuses. It's a pretty funny show. And then we've been watching, I think it's called Indebted. It's got Fran Drescher in it.
Uh-huh. It's like a parents and their older kids. Like they move in with their older kids or something.
Yes. Yep. And it's got a guy that you would recognize if you saw him, but I don't know his name. But he's fun. He's funny. He's a little whiny, but he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the two things we've been watching. Oh, but you know what I did watch? We watched over the weekend the new movie Antebellum.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the previews for this?
No.
I have not.
It is about, I think it's Janelle Monáe, who's the lead in the movie. And she is a very, very super accomplished Black academic. And she apparently speaks louder and more audaciously than some people in our country would prefer. And they literally put her back into bondage. And the terrifying part of this movie, I mean, it's a horror movie. It's kind of in a like Get Out type genre.
Like thriller more. Thriller.
Exactly. Yeah. And the terrifying thing was, for some reason, I figured it out really early. And like the wave of horror that washed over my body when I figured out what was going to happen to this woman was disturbing. But it was a very good movie.
It's good. Good, good.
I also finally read my friend's book. So my friend from undergrad wrote a book, and I asked for it for a while, and I finally got it in this like quarantine gift group. Like it was like a actual like gift exchange where it was a one-to-one gift exchange. And yeah, so the girl in my gift group bought it for me and I finally read it this week and it was so good. I even messaged her on Facebook and I was like, Erin, I'm finally reading your book. So this is not, I mean, it's kind of a spoiler, but it's not exactly, because you realize that something is fucked up. Like you realize something's going on the whole time. And so do you, Allison, have you ever watched Supernatural?
No.
Okay. So there's like some episodes of Supernatural where there's a trickster god, and the trickster god, it's like, this is real. No, it's not. This is real. No, it's not. This part's not real. This is definitely not real. Right. And so that was what kept happening in this book. So there's a lot of complaints about it online of people being, because people don't like not knowing what's going on. Right. Like that's,
or they weren't smart enough to figure it out.
So, but I was like fully on board for the ride. I was like, here we go. It's wild. And I'm here for it. So I finally read, it's called House of Salt and Sorrows. And my friend is named Erin Craig. So you should read it if you, oh, and it's a twist on the 12 Dancing Princesses, which was my favorite fairy tale when I was a kid. The Shelley Duvall fairy tale theater version.
Ooh, fun.
Did you ever watch those?
Maybe, vaguely. Like, I remember, like, that name totally rings a bell, so.
Hi, I'm Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, I love Shelley Duvall.
It's got really good ratings on Goodreads, so clearly most people must have liked it.
Yeah, no, I mean, because it's good. But there's a lot of people just complaining about the fact, like, I can't follow what's going on. Yeah, right.
To be fair, I think there are some people out there that just like to read as a mode of escape. Like, yeah. They're not really looking to use their, to, like, really use their brain while they're reading. They just kind of want to, which I do sometimes too. So yeah. that might be those people.
shit TV.
Yes, I watch shit TV. Shit's
Creek swept the Emmys.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! I know. I sent you the video of Sarah Levy screaming every time somebody won. I mean, she got to watch her dad and brother win, and she was just like screaming and being like, "Oh yeah. My god!"
I wonder who they were watching with on the computer, because they had a computer set up facing the TV, and then her partner was videotaping her freak out every time someone won, and then she would talk to the computer too.
Yeah,
it was very cute.
It was cute.
Very cute.
Very
exciting.
I think I did it, right? I didn't even realize the Emmys were that day. And what did we, you and I did this. You were wearing your Rose Apothecary shirt and I was wearing Best Wishes.
Yeah.
We made them win.
Yeah.
We put it out into the universe.
Yeah.
So
I wish they would have won like before their series ended though, you know, like.
Well, that's such a common thing. Is to like,
it's shitty.
It is shitty because two of our most favorite shows ever ended this year.
Yep.
And that means The Good Place got nothing.
Yeah.
And like, I think the amount that I enjoy them is equal, but I think like objectively that The Good Place is a better show because of like what it's teaching and what it's conceptualizing and like all of the like research that they had to do with. I mean, you listened to the podcast, right, Shannon?
Yeah. They have like theologists and philosophers on staff helping them write. So, hi, Jonathan.
Hello. He's my wine assistant for the evening.
Yeah, and I do agree. I think the writing is smarter. You know, it's like funny, smart writing, and they have twists and turns that you never see coming, especially season one. Like, no one called that shit, you know, and I'm pretty good at guessing shit. Scott's pretty good at guessing shit, and both of us were like, what?
I mean, Ted Danson deserved an Ted Danson deserved an Emmy for season one alone, like for that laugh, knocking the thing off the plant off the table. Like, Ted Danson was a dream in that role, and then Darcy Carden, the actress who played Janet, deserved an Emmy for the episode where she played all the characters.
Yep.
Like, I just am devastated that they never won anything. And yeah, I mean, I just, you know what? Do you remember season five of RuPaul's Drag Race? It was the one where Jinx Monsoon won and Alaska was runner up.
Mm, yeah.
I didn't even know who I wanted to have win before that night. And when Jinx won, I was crushed for Alaska. And I realized if it had been the other way around, I would have been crushed for Jinx.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if The Good Place swept and Schitt's Creek had gotten nothing, that I would feel about the same amount of upset as I am now.
Yeah.
Like, I am just really fucking sad for The Good Place because I just think it's one of the, like, smartest, wildest, wonderful TV shows to ever exist.
Yeah. That's why we keep watching that one too. Like, Catherine, what do you want to watch tonight? It's always between Sophia the First, David's Creek, and The Good Place. Like, that's what my child chooses to watch, you know? She calls it David's Creek, which I think is adorable. So, not that I have told her not to call it Schitt's Creek. She just, like, one day associated, like, can we watch David's Creek, Mommy? And I was like, yes, we can. That is David's Creek, isn't it? He technically owns the town.
My David Funkos arrived. I ordered two in the hopes that I would get one of the rare ones that they would have pity on me and be like, she ordered two.
Right.
She wants one of each. But that's not how that went. I got two regular ones.
Yeah. Mine aren't shipping till December now, so.
I don't have high hopes for you.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm even going to get them.
So.
And I paid extra to guarantee.
I know you did.
That I got an Amish David.
I know you did.
Which, I want that sweatshirt so bad. So if you ever find anyone on Etsy that that makes that, please buy it for me.
You know that the original is like $8,000.
Yeah, yeah. It went up for auction, didn't it? He auctioned off a bunch of his sweaters for charity.
Yeah, no, I don't mean what the auction price was. I mean what the actual
The in real life price. Yeah. I want that Alexander McQueen dress too that Moira wears at the finale. I want that to be my new pastoral gown when I marry people. He got that on consignment, and he said he found it randomly. And I'm like, oh, I want a random white gown that makes me look like God.
So we got news today, which is that race weekend was canceled.
Wah, wah. So Maggie and I are going to Orlando in February for the Disney Princess Marathon. It is the weekend of my birthday. So when Maggie's like, oh, I'm going to run, and it's the weekend of your birthday, I'm like, oh, I'm crashing your run weekend, and we're going to have a vacation. And it started off small, like, Maggie, Joseph, Shannon, right? And then Joseph's family's like, no, we're coming. And then Maggie's parents were like, yeah, we're coming. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to bring Catherine and Scott, an exchange student. We're all going to come. And then Ashley's like, my family's coming out from Arizona. And now, most recently developed, last week, 3 days ago, actually, both my parents are coming too.
Oh, wow. So we have this massive Disney trip planned, and the race was canceled.
Wah, wah. So, well, we're all still going. I don't give a fuck. It's middle of winter. We all need a break. We all need a trip. And if we're not in a civil war or all zombies from a untested vaccine, like, we're fucking going, man. Like, I'm going. So
Joseph and I decided we're going to get up on Saturday and run around the lake behind the resort that we're staying at.
Good. You wear your t-shirt and shit. You're going to dress up and everything still? Mm-hmm. Good.
Because
I have a friend from high school that does that, the Disney princess run. I've seen her in the too.
Yeah. Oh my God, we should make you signs and like you guys have to end in the pool area or something and we can all be there. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yes.
They greatly limited the number of registrations, the number of bibs you could get. So I have this hypothesis that they had a plan, right? Like I thought they were going to do rolling start times throughout the night and like limited, and they limited the number of people who could go. Like I fucking was like, I was like, they did this on purpose. They limited the number of people coming. They've got a fucking plan. Like, we're going to do this. You're going to have to wear masks, like get used to running in a mask. And nope, they announced today that they canceled it. And so, yeah, devastated. And I told my friend Danielle and she goes, oh, I am just so glad that you're not going to Disney World anymore. And I was like,
No, we're going, bitch. yeah, no, we're going. Like Maggie and I were going to secretly run away to Orlando in October. Like, I don't think we are anymore, but we even kicked that around. Like, we should just, let's just go and not tell anyone. We're just going to go and not tell anyone. Okay. Yeah. Just don't, no pictures, no Instagram, no TikToks. We're just going to go and not tell anyone.
Yeah.
We go for a girl trip every fall at Halloween. So we can go to Universal Studios for Halloween Haunted Horror Nights. And then Maggie has friends who are cast members, so we get into Disney on a discount, and we sleep couches because we're two adults who are going on a trip on the cheap, so we can drink around the world. So
drink around the world.
Yep.
Which day are you going to Epcot?
We do not have Epcot on our plan. We're going to do, which is, Epcot's one, my favorite place to go, but I don't think Catherine will appreciate it yet. Jeff and Cheryl might go to Epcot.
Okay, we can think this through. We can change things. We can figure things out.
Yeah.
I think we should actually drink around the world for your birthday. Now that I'm no longer doing runs, I think Shannon and Maggie
on Thursday
go to Epcot and do all 11 beverages.
And then we'll send Scott and Catherine to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know Cheryl will want to come drink around the world. She's not going to drink around the world, but she'll want to come. So, which will be fine. My mom is fun on vacation once you get her there. You know that. She got drunk with us on Bourbon Street and bought us pizza at 3 a.m. I have a picture of my mom going like this.
I mean, you know, if your
in mom a daiquiri shop on the corner of Bourbon Street.
Your mom buys us some of these rounds that it's going to be, then I'll shut my mouth about it.
Oh, you know she'll buy us rounds. So. I kind of like that. Let me pitch that to the team. To T. Marshall Wilhelm. We'll see if the boys, like Jeff and Scott, take Catherine to Animal Kingdom and the girls will go drink around the world.
Drink around the world.
You know, I've been wanting that World Traveler shirt off Etsy and I haven't bought it yet because I'm like,
not a World Traveler yet.
Yeah.
So my parents drove down to Oberlin on Wednesday last week and came back on Thursday morning with Zelda without her parents. And she stayed with us for two nights and it was a pretty okay time. Like,
yeah,
she didn't lose her mind. So she threw up for the first time ever in the car with my parents and sobbed hysterically. And like, she's 2.5, and what would a 2.5-year-old normally say? I want my mommy, right? That's what you would expect them. She goes, I want my parents, which is so funny. Because
that's so cute.
Says, I want my parents.
Right?
Like, that was just really funny. But she got here and was a delight. She was very funny. We I got a series of photos that I call she's about to receive bread and butter, because she, like, we were giving her bread and butter, and she goes, right? So I have these like pictures of her in the high chair, like looking like she's the queen of the world. I showed her the dog thing on Snapchat for the first time. She thought that was hilarious. I showed her the Lion King.
The dancing dog that dances?
Just the classic with that slurp little dog, the classic Snapchat filter with the dog face.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I thought you said TikTok, but you're right, you said Snapchat.
I don't know if we can see this, but here she is in the little baby rocking chair, right in front of the TV, watching Lion King.
Aww.
So
we have...
So while she was here, I opened Facebook and find out that RBG died. And I am like very active on NPR. Like I comment on a lot of their articles. So it showed up 2 minutes after it posted. Mm-hmm. So it was like really early. And I just screamed and started sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I scream sobbed. And my parents both hate emotions. My mom pretends like she's fine with emotions, but she's not. They were both deeply uncomfortable by my massive outpouring of grief. And my dad goes, Zelda doesn't need to see this. You need to leave. Which is like,
Children need to see you cry. Like, so that they know emotions are okay. And I don't think Joseph would have hidden any of his grief in front of her either. So.
Right. Agreed. So
yeah. She died at sundown on Rosh Hashanah.
I know. That is very beautiful. That is very beautiful. So Allison, you kind of wanted to, like, I know that we have been, you know, chatting about all other things, but you came in specifically because you wanted to talk about this. So tell us what you're thinking. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I mean, lots of people loved RBG, right? I don't have some kind of exclusive corner on this, but I'm a lawyer.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so RBG is obviously an icon to women lawyers. I mean, the things she did, I mean, she did more. I'm tired just thinking about all the things she did. Like, you know, she was a law student and a mom, taking a law student at, and I'm not sure if at this time she was at like Harvard or Columbia, but she went to both.
Yeah, I think it was Columbia first.
She was going to her classes. She was going to his classes, her husband's classes, because he was diagnosed with testicular cancer while she was in law school. She was going to her classes. She was going to his classes. She was taking care of their child. And she was taking care of him.
Yeah.
She was taking care of him. I mean, one of those tasks makes me want to take a nap, right? She's pretty phenomenal. And so just, I don't know. There's just something about her. She's unflappable.
There was a, the thing in the movie, there's a documentary about her, and then also, like, the like, movie, you know.
On the basis of sex.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the thing that happened, in like, it was in all the previews, that this actually happened to her, where the head of the law school was like, why are you taking up a place that should be taken up by a man?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that really happened. Now, this is an amazing story. Like, I love this. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know really shit about law, but like, I do love this from like a logic standpoint. One of her early cases with the ACLU was this case with beer, right? So this was like RBG's mind being fucking genius. So there in, I can't remember which state it was now, but it was a southern state, and they, girls were allowed to buy wine coolers and beer when they were 18, but men had to wait until they were 21. And so she took on this case being like, if we can get discrimination against men to be ruled as unconstitutional, and men, like male judges, and are more likely to be like, oh yeah, men should be treated equally to women, that's going to set the precedent that I need to do all the other fucking work I want to do.
Yep.
I'm like, what a goddamn like genius move. Like, I fucking love that story so much.
That was her first big case, was a sexual discrimination case in favor of men. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was like a paternity case. I didn't realize it was an alcohol case, but that's still brilliant. Like,
so fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, but that it was brilliant. But the thing is, that is just who she was. She wanted equality regardless. Like,
for everyone.
Yep. Women or you know,
yeah,
minorities. She just wanted equality for everyone.
Yeah.
And thankfully she recognized that equality is not pie, right? More for me doesn't equal less for you. And that's just how she lived her life. I mean, I have goosebumps now. She was just amazing. Like, I can hardly stand my sadness. And I found out Friday night?
Friday night.
We had taken the kids to bed, and I always finish before Jonathan because, I don't know, he coddles them, I guess. I don't know. But he's always in there forever. And I'm like, let's read, let's go. I was sitting down on the couch, and he came down, and I don't know if I was reading a book or something. The TV was off, and he was like, you haven't heard. Because I wasn't looking at my phone.
Right. Crying on the couch in the dark.
And crying on the couch. Yeah. Right. I was normally reading a book. And he told me. He had gotten an alert on his phone, actually, while he was upstairs with whichever child he put to bed that night. So I don't remember where I was going with that, but I was going somewhere. But the point is, she was just phenomenal. I mean, oh, I know where I was going with it. This is when I started texting you. Well, first I started drinking more. And then I started texting you because I was just shocked. I was just shocked. Like, to my core.
Yeah. I found out real early too, for some reason. Like, I think I was just scrolling and like breaking news, 2 minutes old, you know, and I was one of the first people to like retweet whatever. Like, I found a confirmation story that I liked and, you know, resent that out, and everyone, no, are you kidding me? No, you know, so.
I mean, we all knew, like, I mean.
Well, yeah, she had cancer. We all knew she was going to die. We're just like, please don't die yet.
I know.
I mean, I would have been overwhelmed with grief regardless of when I found that out. She was a brilliant legal mind. She wrote scathing dissents, like, just brilliantly scathing dissents.
She's like a Hamilton, huh? She's just like, why are you writing like you're running out of time? Running out of time, running out of time.
No, she did. They're actually like, there's not a lot about being a lawyer that I could say is interesting that you guys probably wouldn't laugh at, because, I mean, let's face it. Interesting to me is probably not interesting to most other people. But reading her dissents is actually pretty entertaining. So right. Have you guys seen Kate McKinnon do her on Saturday Night Live?
I have.
Yeah. So Kate's been nominated for Emmys for those skits, I think.
I know. Well, I mean, she's phenomenal anyway. I mean, we could have a whole nother conversation about her, but I was Googling them because I heard that she did like she gave a tribute. She spoke about her on Saturday, and I wasn't watching, so I was trying to find that. And I ran across some of her old skits. And in the one from 2015, she, at the very beginning, she enters in, and her very first joke is to the lyrics of the Rick Astley song, right? She was Rickrolling people.
Never gonna
get. And what is weird is Rick Astley died on Friday too. He died the same day.
What?
Yep.
Rick Astley died?
Yeah, he died.
This last weekend?
Yes. I mean, like, unless my husband's lying to me, which he better not be, I think he died. I know, we're all Googling.
No, his Wikipedia says he's still alive.
It does say he's still alive.
September 5th, it says, is Rick Astley dead? No, Rick Astley was found dead. So it was a thing going around. It was a thing going around on Friday.
So it was a joke. Okay, yeah. Well, that makes the coincidence less cool.
It does make the coincidence less cool.
And also,
is hilarious, though, because I saw a ton of Rick Astley stuff, like, on TikTok this weekend. I got Rickrolled, like, 4 times on TikTok. Like, and I was like, what is going on? Why is Rick Astley all over the place?
Yeah, he's totally alive. I think Jonathan was fooled, and then he tricked me unknowingly.
Right, unknowingly tricked you.
Because he was actually listening to it over the week, because my husband actually is a fan of that song. So he was listening to it in, like, tribute.
Rick Astley is amazing. I love him.
Yes.
Well, there goes my super fun story. I think it's time for the toaster, though.
Yes.
I will have to go get it just right outside the door. But so the point of this is I was texting Shannon. I was drinking. I was sad.
We're all trying to buy shit on Etsy honoring RBG. Like, I just bought 12 million stickers to put all over my car.
Oh, I didn't know there were stickers. So I had sent my husband to Walmart at 9 o'clock at night to try to get one of the RBG Funko Pops that they claim to have in stock. Lies. All of it lies.
Lies! All lies!
While he was gone, I started texting Shannon, and you can take over. I'll go get it. You tell the rest.
So I'm just like, I'm fucking around too on the internet trying to find cool stuff for RBG, and I'm on Amazon, and I'm like, oh my god, there's a motherfucking toaster you can buy that when you put your toast in it, it burns RBG's face into the toast. And I sent it to Allison. I was like, you should get this. Ha, 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 ha. And my next text from Allison was, it's going to be here in 48 hours. So then Allison was like, you need to come over for a toast and wine, and we're going to get day drunk eating RBG toast and drinking wine.
Here it is.
And here it is.
I'm not trying it yet. But this is.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It has a little descent collar and
that's my necklace.
And Ruth's face and the toast.
I think somewhere on here my mother-in-law was reading the box. They also have a waffle maker.
What? An RBG waffle maker?
Which I don't have.
Oh, look at that notorious RBG shirt. Oh, I love it. I need to get me some RBG stuff. I had a little Etsy doll in my cart, and I should have bought it. It sold out before I bought it. I don't know why I didn't buy it.
I've actually had that for a couple years, Notorious RBG.
Yeah.
Well, I have an action figure, and a couple weeks ago, actually, before she died, I belong to this super, super awesome Facebook group that's super, super secret, and I'm telling all of you.
It's okay. Only 13 people download our episode.
Right.
So it's okay.
So it's all lawyers, all women, all lawyers, all moms. And there are like 13,000 people in this group right now. And there's a waiting list that's like 3 years long because the people who are administering the group are also lawyers and moms and thus cannot spend all day vetting people on Facebook. So super, super awesome group. And one of the women in it is I'm sure there's more than one, but this particular woman is an artist. And she had posted a post in Facebook asking for, she does a lot of like city, she does water, she paints in watercolor, they're beautiful. And she does a lot of cityscapes. And she was asking what city she should do next. And she had a link to her Instagram account and I clicked on it. And I'm one of those people for whom art is a little bit of a mystery. Like, I'm not artistic myself very much other than in, you know, very defined type A ways, like coloring inside the lines. And but what someone once told me, you don't ever buy art unless you absolutely think you have to have it. Right. So I don't have a lot because I don't think I have to have most of it, but Cityscapes happened to be a weakness of mine, and I was looking at hers, and she didn't have any cities that I had any strong connection to, but they were beautiful. And I went through the rest of her stuff, and she actually has an RBG print, and it arrived like a week before she died, and it is awesome. And I can't wait to get a frame for it. I can't figure out exactly where I'm going to put it. I originally thought my office, but now that she's died, I kind of want to hang it above my dresser in my bedroom. I don't know how my husband's going to feel about that. But that's kind of where I want to put it.
Yay.
So, I mean, the second I saw, like, I would have been sad no matter what, but like the second I saw it, I knew that Mitch McConnell was going to ram through a Supreme Court justice the second, like, he was salivating. He
announced it within an hour of the her death being made public, within an hour.
And so when I saw that, my like scream cry wasn't just that we lost an icon who I adored, but it was also like, we're fucked. We're fucked. Yeah. We're fucked for the next 40 years. We're fucked.
So you saw what happened today then with Mitt, right?
Yep. Mittens. Mittens came out and said he's going to vote for it. And, you know, I mean, you thought this man deserved to be removed from office, and you're still going to put, but you think he deserves to get another Supreme Court.
They're all just playing the game.
I know.
Like this tradition is just that. And I'm not necessarily sticking up for anyone at this fucking point, but I see it. I see both sides. Like, a justice died during a Obama election year, and Mitt put the stops, not Mitt. Mitch McConnell Ryan. Put the stop on it for 9 months because it was an election year. And that's an 80-year tradition that if a Supreme Court justice dies during an election year, you wait till the election's over to replace the person.
They're claiming it's only an election year where the president, current sitting president, is not up for re-election. They just changed the rules, right?
There's no laws for this. It's been an unwritten courtesy, and this administration is not about following anything, not even the law. They don't observe tradition. They don't even observe the tradition of the presidency, let alone we expect them to uphold other shit that goes on. I've had like a jargarita now, so like my mind is starting to like slow down like rust on cogs. But I mean, like,
too much
like, are we fucking surprised, number one, and number two, like, maybe it's time to stop some of this bullshit, you know, like an 80-year tradition as a courtesy. Well, there's no fucking rules, so why should I follow this unwritten rule when I'm in
power? The problem, though, is that the Democrats always, at least historically, in the past, say, you know, 15 years when it's mattered, the Democrats do follow the rules. That's the problem, though.
The Democrats changed the rules a few years ago. They did. Yeah.
But they also tend to follow the rules, though.
Yeah.
And the Republicans, since Trump was elected, do not.
Yeah.
You can't fight against someone who's ignoring the rules
in
a way, like with your strategy being, oh, everybody follows the rules.
He doesn't follow the rules, any rules.
He does no not rules. Follow the rules.
So
your the Democrats change the rules is a Republican talking point, and how dare you? And here's why. As soon as the House and Senate flipped during Obama's first midterms. And the second it did, they blocked everything. And they actually already had, because the filibuster still existed. So they've been blocking the majority of Obama's appointments. And so the determination that Harry Reid made at that time was, okay, well, we can get rid of the filibuster right now, or let our judicial system collapse because they're not allowing any judicial appointments. Yeah. Like, he knew, I mean, and Harry Reid even came out at that time, and because he knew that it would switch. Like, he knew that when the Democrats got rid of the filibuster, they didn't love that. They didn't want to have to do that. But the determination they made was, we would rather do this now, get rid of the filibuster for judges, than allow the judicial system to collapse because of lack of judges. And they did not get rid of the filibuster for the Supreme Court, right? So, like, you still had to get 60 votes for the Supreme Court. And the second that Donald Trump got into office, Mitch McConnell goes, well, we're getting rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominees also, so that they could ram through Gorsuch, so they could ram through Kavanaugh, and now they can get whatever other psycho. So, like, the whole, like, Democrats change the rules thing is, like, they weren't doing that for political gain. Like, they weren't trying to make it good for them. It was because the Republicans stuck their sticks in the sand and said, we are not moving and we are not going to work with you and they came out the day after, you know, Obama was elected and said, we're going to make him a one-term president. We're not going to let him get anything done. Yeah. So that's my Maggie rant on that.
I like your Maggie rant, actually, and agree with it.
Thanks. It's time for Maggie Rants. It's time for Maggie Rants. Your Funko Pop on Amazon is $31.
Which one?
Mine?
The Ruth Bader Ginsburg one.
Oh, I'm Amazoning right now. I will totally pay $31 for that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like it's resale. So, like, you're buying it from someone.
Uh-huh.
So.
Sorry, you guys. I am, So as we've noted, I'm a lawyer and I'm also super type A and I'm also unable to not multitask. So I'm actually painting my nails while I'm talking to you.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm getting drunk and shopping on Amazon because I was like,
I need some
RBG shit. So,
oh man.
So pour one out for our homie, the notorious RBG, Jargarita.
Oh, but wait, I do have one more thing on this. So
back to Romney.
When I learned about Romney today, because, you know, some of us have to work. We can't just cruise the interwebs all day. Kidding. I got a Facebook message from a friend of mine, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I Googled it before she could respond. And I was dismayed. I was dismayed because of all of the Republicans I can think of, I still thought there was a chance that he was a semi, barely maybe, but still possibly a little bit decent human being, right? Like, he was one of the ones that I wasn't burning in effigy in my brain every day.
He's standing up for the process, though, Allison, not the president.
So, I was talking to Jonathan about this, and I mean, like, Jonathan, to his credit, he went to go try to get the Funko Pop at 9 p.m., and he brought me back a cement mixer from Culver's when he couldn't get it because,
I mean, that's love. Like,
he recognized that I was in some serious, discombobulation and pain. He came home tonight, and he was like, so Gordon is one of the guys he works with. We're really good friends with him and his wife. He was like, Gordon and I were talking about this today, and we're thinking he might be going to pull a McCain. So they're wondering if maybe he's not just saying, he didn't say which way he was going to vote. Mm-hmm. He just said he would vote. And maybe what he's trying to do is let it go to the vote and then vote no. And at that point, they really don't have time to recircle the wagons, right?
Yeah.
Because if they didn't know if Romney was going to vote yes, they would have had to try to swing a Democrat. They've stopped doing that now because they think they have the votes. I mean, I think it's a long shot, but it's a little bit of hope in a world.
It doesn't have anything to lose, right? Like, fuck right, it. Like, let's start voting for all the Democratic shit at this point, you know?
Mittens was not in the Senate 4 years ago, and so unlike all these other motherfuckers, Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, Chuck Grassley, like, let's make a list. It's like 12 of them said, you know, well, this would be true even if it was a Republican. Mitt does not have that. Like, he never said shit 4 years ago because he wasn't in the Senate. So he, like, that's another political calculation that he's making, which is that, like, I don't have my old words for people to hold against me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Allison, I have another question for you based on this. What do you think, from your legal perspective, of expanding the Supreme Court once Democrats are in power?
So, to 10 judges from 9?
It has to be odd.
It has to be odd. So as a person who has went to law school, studied law, practices law every day, I was not 100% sold on the court packing argument until RBG died. Because now that's our only shot. Like, there's nothing. I mean, setting aside this whole, like, rogue Mitt Romney theory, which I will fully say is just a theory that was presented to me today and was interesting to think about for a minute. And I mean, I don't think it's outside the complete realm of possibility, but probably isn't going to happen. We're fucked. Like, we are 100% fucked. And I cannot fathom a world where any more white men sit around and tell women what to do with their bodies. Mm-hmm. So I have to be in favor of court packing. I mean, that's the only option. That's the only thing that's going to save Roe v. Wade. Like, there's nothing else. Amy.
No, it's going to be Amy What's-Her-Face.
Well, no, Amy What's-Her-Face. That's what I was just going to say. Amy What's-Her-Face, and I have no idea what her fucking name is, and I don't care. Amy What's-Her-Face.
Cunt face Amy.
Cunt face Amy is her name.
Cunt face Amy, I'm good with that. I have no idea what she stands for. I haven't read anything about her. I didn't even fucking know who she was until today. Well, until yesterday. But in any event, I read an article where some white Republican douchebag in the House, or the Senate, I'm sorry, the Senate, said he would be okay with her as a nominee because now he knows her position on Roe v. Wade. And her position has to be that it was wrongly decided. And now I don't fucking care who she is. Like, I don't care who she is.
Okay, so yeah, she's part of this group. She is part of this group that Margaret Atwood based The Handmaid's Tale on.
I actually read something about that, like, literally 4 minutes before we all got on tonight. I was like, I haven't had a chance to, like, click all the way through yet. I didn't know what it was going on, but some comment was like, it's so creepy how The Handmaid's Tale is, like, the characters are named after the people in this cult that Amy's a part of. I'm like,
yes. Yeah.
So it's true?
Yeah.
Because I was just fooled by Rick Astley, like, 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, she's totally part of this crazy, like, right-winged Christian cult who believes that boot belongs on her neck and women belong in the home serving their husbands, which is odd if she's going to be a judge. Shouldn't she be in the home serving her husband?
Correct. But see, she's here to teach all of us heathens the better way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's good for me is not good for thee. She's literally Serena Joy.
There's a reason I haven't watched The Handmaid's Tale because, like, I'm afraid that's the road we're on, and I don't want to watch it.
Serena Joy.
Watch it. How else are you going to prepare if you don't know?
Yeah. How else are you going to prepare?
Oh, my husband's sure he's going to protect us. I said, go buy some fucking guns before November 4th because a civil war is coming, and I don't think my machete's going to cut it.
So, I also want to say, Amy, fuckface, cuntface Amy, what do we call her? Cuntface Amy?
Cuntface Amy.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we're replacing a woman with a woman. Replacing RBG with cuntface Amy is exactly the same move as replacing Thurgood Marshall with Clarence Thomas. Like, some fucked up logic. That is some bullshit to, like, put someone on the court and be like, it's the same group of person and act like that is good.
But see, it's not even an act, I don't think, all the way, because to them, the same group of person is just the same person. Like, if it's a group that they don't belong to, it's just the same person. They're all the same person, right? I mean, that's why we have all of these, like, people. I just read The New Jim Crow.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Okay, sorry.
So good. Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so good. It's, like, terrifyingly good. I spent a week staying up late, telling Jonathan he could go to bed so I could just read on the couch. And then he wakes me up at like 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning on the couch. I said, I do this for a week. One night I had my like this right here, my swig. I love my swig. This cup.
Cute.
Love it. Yes. I had it like propped and the straw was leaning on my face. Cause what I was doing was my nightly chug of water after I drink my wine because I'm old now and
Yeah, we need to hydrate.
We need to hydrate. And I really like to chew ice. And I have an ice maker that will do like crunchy ice, like chopped ice. So I do that and then I crunch all the ice. So he finds me in the living room with the cup and the straw like leaning against my face with this book open because I couldn't stand it. I just like had to read it. But it's like, I honestly think that a good portion of our population is so incredibly brainwashed at this point, mm-hmm. based on a lot of the theories that are set out in that book, that, like, again, like I said, it's just like, you're just one of the, like, you're just, it's us and them, it's them and us, the poor, I mean very poor white people. As the book points out, they don't want to be at the bottom. Like, if the choice is between ostracizing people based on their race or potentially ending up at the bottom of the food chain, like, they're actually making a pretty rational choice. I mean, despicable and horrible, but rational. It's a rational choice. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've once again lost where I was going, but...
Welcome to drinking and podcasting.
I mean, I'm now reading Rage, by the way, Bob Woodward, Rage about Trump. And it's stomach churning.
Our country's so ugly right now. It makes me weep. Like, I just really hope there's more good people out there that get out and vote than bad. And by good, I mean by good by our standards of, like, getting Trump out of office. But there's
a lot of other people.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, racist, anti-Semitic people out there that are pounding the pavement, having rallies, and recruiting people who are looking for a place to belong. And it's fucking scary, man. It's, like, real fucking scary. Like, my husband thinks I'm crazy for talking about a civil war coming in November. I'm like, no, it's fucking coming. Because Trump's not going to leave office without a fight. If he is reelected, like, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. Because, like, he's doing everything Hitler did to gain ultimate power forever and ever and ever. And there's nothing stopping him.
No, you're completely right. And circling back for just a second, that's one of the interesting things about these movies, like The Get Out and The Antebellum that I was talking about. So at least three times during that movie, the Antebellum movie, people said stuff. Like, so the idea is they have, like, circled these people back to the Civil War, like the situation that existed during the Civil War. Again, I'm not trying to give away any spoilers at all, and I don't think I have. But they kept making all these phrases. Like, the people that were in control of the system kept saying things like blood and soil. I'm like, mm-hmm. That's a Nazi phrase. And then I Google it. There's no connection to the Civil War, blood and soil. There's no connection there. And then there was another one. And I'm like, again, that's a Nazi. Like, the message they were sending through this video or through this movie was, it was so smart. It was so well done. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about horror movies. I get into fall and I start, like, wanting to watch, like, Halloween and, like,
We should ask Maggie about that Rob Zombie Halloween Haunted Horror Nights house last year.
You went to a Rob Zombie haunted
house. We did the House of 1,000 Corpses haunted house. It was amazing.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
So we went to this place off near Pinckney last year that was like one of the outside, like walk through in the dark and pee your pants places. And I love being scared. I just love it. Like, it's weird to say, right? Because most people hate it. I think it's awesome.
No, why would horror movies exist at all if people didn't love it?
True, but they still claim to not love it. I actually think I love it. However, at the moment in the time, I'm like, no. Anyway, Jonathan and I went. We walked through the woods. It was super, super freaky. There's one part in particular that, like, I really almost did pee my pants. He's laughing. Although, I think at that exact moment, he was a little scared himself. But in any event, so I need to hear about this House of 1,000 Corpses places because...
Oh, so we go to Universal Studios in Orlando for Halloween Haunted Horror Nights. And so these are like movie level walkthroughs with actors. Mm-hmm. So this isn't being scared in the woods by amateurs. I probably would not do that because I don't trust those fuckers. Like, I trust the employees of Universal Studios to not like murder me.
So
the walkthrough was they're totally based off like the movies and inspiration of movies and whatnot. So while like, you know, Maggie loves Stranger Things and like was so giddy to walk through those homes, like I've never seen the show, so it was like fine to me. And I love the Rob Zombie House of 1,000 Corpses movies, which are just, they're fucked up. But poor Maggie had no frame of reference, so it scared the living shit out of her. And I'm like, you know, like walking through the whole thing.
I like campy horror anyway. Like, I don't want to be scared, but I love Evil Dead, you know? So like, and the previous year when Shannon and I went down, there was this house called Slaughterhouse Cinema, mm-hmm. and the whole concept was B-movies. And we watched these, like, on the screen while we were in line, watched these, like, fake things for these, like, fake B-movies. And then that was what was in. And, like, you walked in and it smelled like popcorn. And then there's this, like, stupid-ass alien and Bigfoot. And just, like, I loved that haunted house, you know? So and what I love about Halloween Horror Nights, like my original degree from undergrad is in theater. And so like, I just go there and I'm like, your costume's amazing. You know, like, let me see that. Show me what you're wearing. Like, I just love it for the spectacle of it. And I, when I'm picking houses, pick campy houses.
Mm-hmm. I like to be startled. I don't like to be touched. And I don't like to be chased. Now, the chasing is hard to undo. Like, you can't really pick a place that's not going to chase you because that's kind of part of their MO. But I do only pick places that aren't allowed to touch you. And they actually put that in their disclaimers before you buy your tickets because I check. And I have never been touched at one of the places that said that they are not allowed to touch you. I feel like once you touch me, we are endangering all of us because I cannot predict my reaction to your grabbing of me. So let's just, nobody touches anyone. And so far it hasn't been a problem.
Yeah.
No, I would fully punch somebody who touched me.
When I got my belly button pierced at 17, my mom had to go because I was 17. And right before they pierced it, she put her hand on my hand because my hand was like holding my shirt. And if she had not done that, I would have totally whacked that guy in the face because that hurt bad. And I mean, my hand, she had to hold it down. I mean, it was going to go like, so yeah, no touching.
No touching.
No touching.
No touchy.
I don't like to be touched.
Oh man. Like, I'm at the point where, like, I need another drink or I need water. What's going on?
It's another drink.
It's been about an hour, so you could just stop.
Yeah, I had two glasses.
Two jargaritas.
I finished my jar.
So. There you go.
Oh, what? Go ahead.
I got us two babies. I got us two new baby Yodas.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-ordered you and me two new Funkos because I'm rich now. My grandma died, Allison, and now I'm rich.
I'm sorry, but yummy. Good for you.
Yeah. So, I was just like, whatever. I'm just going to fucking buy these. They were the expensive kind. I'm like, why are some of them so much more than others?
They're collectors, and I think that site we're getting them from is jacking up the prices for sure. So, all right, we have to talk about Nevermind Karen. So on TikTok this week, my friend sends me a lot of videos through TikTok, and this 20-some woman starts talking about her shopping experience at Target. She's in the music aisle with her mom and her little child, and she stumbles upon this CD cover of a naked baby in a pool with his wiener dangling down. And it's like by this band Nirvana, maybe? I don't know. But isn't that child pornography? I'm offended. My mom's offended. And like, so we're going to go talk to the Target managers. And she's like, yes, ma'am, that's, yes, I don't agree. I think it's child pornography too, but we can't cover it up. We have, you know, contracts with the distributor and it is what it is. And I'm like, what? And both of you are like rolling your eyes and laughing because y'all, how old is the Nirvana Nevermind album?
Is it 1993?
Yeah, I think it's 30 years old at this point.
It's close, yeah.
30 For years sure. old. So this album has been out longer than this woman has been alive.
91.
Mm-hmm. It is literally 30 years next year. So, like, the Nevermind baby's on Instagram, okay? Like, he owns it, okay? And I'm just like, what the fork? Like, you don't know that's one, she didn't know it was Nirvana. She had never heard of Nirvana. And two, like, it's fucking album art. Like, cover albums are considered artwork. It's not child pornography. And if you don't know what that fucking album is by now in 2020, like, go fuck yourself. Like, the woman had to turn off all the, she had 5 videos on it. She had to turn off all the comments because she just kept getting roasted by people. And surprise, surprise, she's a Trump supporter. Ah! So, like.
Yeah, they're totally obsessed with child porn.
She even, like, called corporate about it. And I'm just like, calm down, Karen. Like, this album's fucking 30 years old.
Everyone has seen it.
Shut the fork up. Why don't you go complain about the Led Zeppelin album that has a human man on it with a ding-a-ling? Like, come on.
Is it art or is it porn? I don't know when I see it.
Exactly. Oh, maybe that should be your new Twitter feed. Is it art or is it porn? Just like.
Oh, wait. Are you on Twitter? Are you both on Twitter?
Yes, at Shannon Party, at Brandon Maggie.
Yeah, I can't, I don't know.
I don't really tweet too much anymore. But I've had a Twitter for over 10 years at this point.
One of my favorite Twitters actually is Art Decider, where this guy just responds to tweets and says art or not art. And I love it.
No, I actually saw this post today on Facebook shortly before we started this whole thing that was like, my brother-in-law posted it. I have a brother-in-law. He's 2 years old. He's my husband's older brother. So he's 2 years older. So he's 42. And he posted this thing that was like, things our children will never understand. And it showed things like a cassette tape where the tape gets all effed up and then it like you're like, oh shit, everything I just did for the last 15 hours is now ruined because stupid typo work. It was funny. And I guess maybe Twitter is like my one, like, I'm an old person thing. Like, I just refuse to Twitter. I don't tweet. I will sometimes read.
She doesn't tweeters, man.
I don't tweeter. And I think I have a Twitter account because I had to sign in once to read someone else's tweets. And I really love internet stalking. So I was internet stalking someone and I was, you know, reading their tweets, but
down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. But yeah, I can't do the Twitter.
So I've had a Twitter since 2006 and I got a Twitter because I wanted to be able to say the things I couldn't say on Facebook. I have a very small knit following on Twitter and most of them are like-minded friends. So like my family didn't follow me and the people who did follow me were like-minded. So I didn't care that they saw my true inner feelings about other shit going on in the world and on Facebook. But I've totally gotten away from it at this point. I have one. I tweet once in a while. I do find Twitter's can be a good place to follow celebrities and news and get some really quick updates on things. Yeah, I got Scott a Twitter because of that. I made him sign up. Like I signed up for him on his behalf and I was like, here, I'm getting you a Twitter and you're going to follow all your favorite rock stars and your sport teams and you're going to love it. Trust me. You don't have to tweet. You can just use it as a reading source, which is what he does.
My cat has been screaming for 3 minutes, so I'm just going to
see go what's check going them on. Out. Yeah.
See what's happening over there.
So. Well, Shannon, I'm going to show you some of these, my favorite ones. Tell me if you can read that.
Kinda. Back it up. Some of y'all never... Wait, stop right there. Some of y'all never read 100 books to get a personal pan pizza and it shows. Yes, I've seen that. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
I did get that personal pan pizza, man.
This one is also, I think, hilarious. Tell me when you can see or not see, or I can read it to you.
Yeah, go ahead and read it. I see a bunch of crazy...
It's like, white letters. I hate white letters. When I was a kid, I thought that quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem than it is. It's got clips from The Princess Bride and all those other 80s movies where everyone was always in the quicksand.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, I've seen that.
My kids asked me what it was like growing up in the 80s, so I took their phones away and turned off the internet.
Phones away and turned off their internet. Oh, man.
Jacob, like, just does not get that there was no internet before. Like, he just doesn't.
Yeah.
So this is the one with the, you can see, probably see the picture. I'll read the text.
I can see the picture. Yeah, the tape.
I know it's tragic the Wi-Fi isn't working, but let me tell you a story of catastrophic proportions for my child. And that's so true.
The other day, I was telling one of my students that I had a teacher who's still teaching at the high school now, when I was in high school, and he was like, really? Like,
they must be so old.
And I was like, yes. I'm not that old. Like, I graduated high school 20 years ago, and I had this teacher 22 years ago. How long do you think people's teaching careers are? Like, 40 years, you guys.
My favorite teacher's dead, so I'm not sure. But he's for sure dead.
Like, if you go from, you know, them being 22 and, like, if we're getting out of college and getting a job right away, 22 to 65, that is 43 years.
Yeah.
So, like, he's all shocked that I have this teacher who's still teaching there. And I was like...
Yeah, I feel like some of the teachers at Horning have been there a really long time, Shannon. I don't remember how many years Mrs. Siddle told me she was teaching, but it was a lot.
They all looked middle-aged. They all look middle-aged, and some of them are younger. So they got, if they all started teaching in their 20s, you know, it's got to be 20-some years.
So this post was a whole, like, series of these our kids will never understand. The one that struck me the most was actually says, I'm so old, I can remember going through a whole day without taking a picture of anything. That's awesome because it's true. Right? I mean, like, yeah. Remember when taking pictures was kind of hard?
Yeah, it was hard. You had to carry a camera with you.
You had to carry it.
Let me tell you, back in the day, and this isn't that long ago, at weddings, I could get my digital camera and my phone in each side of my cleavage. Like, I'd have my digital camera and my phone on one boob and, like, my keys and money in the other boob. And, like, that was my fucking purse because you had to have a camera and a phone. They weren't together.
Correct.
And a digital camera, not a regular camera, digital camera.
I actually think when I was in college, like when I was a freshman, I definitely had a phone, but I don't think I took it everywhere. It didn't fit in whatever I was wearing, that I'm sure. But I don't remember me like thinking about where my phone was going to go.
Yeah,
I remember huddling in the snowstorm with my best friend from college in our sweaters with a wrap like this around each other. In clothing that was not appropriate for the season. I remember being that. But I don't remember like worrying about where my phone was.
When I was around 20, I thought I did that for 2 years, like 18 and 19. And then I was around 20 and I was like, I'm a genius. I'm going to buy $10 coats on clearance. And those are my club coats. And so like, I would wear this like cheap ass piece of shit. Like one of them was pleather and like within 6 months started peeling.
but you didn't care if you lost it.
Right. I would drop it in the corner of the club.
Yep. And if it was still there when you left, good for you. If not, well.
It was a $10 coat. Are we ready to wrap it up, ladies? It's been over an hour.
Yeah, we can wrap it up if you guys are ready. We can keep talking afterwards, too.
We can keep talking afterwards. Did anybody have anything they wanted to add? I mean, Allison prepped us for Internet Thing of the Week perfectly. Like, that was Internet Thing of the Week 1.
Oh, my 80s posts?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I also has anyone tried throwing a politician into a volcano to appease the virus? Funny.
I dig it.
I love it. All right, Maggie, what's your internet thing of the day?
I'm gonna laugh so hard because every time. All right. So first of all, where is what's supposed to be WEAR in this and it's WHERE. And then I'm gonna spell something when I get to the end. My husband had to wear a mask on a business trip and now he has chlamydia. And this is a Facebook comment. And this person, and she spelled chlamydia, clam, media. Clam, C-L-A-M, media, M-E-D-I-A. So my husband had to wear a mask on a business trip, and now he has clam media. And this person responded, you had my curiosity, now you have my attention.
Maggie texted me that, and I responded back, that's why we don't share masks or kiss lady boys. Like, come on.
You thought acne was all of our problem.
Yeah.
But apparently there's a much larger issue.
Don't be sharing your mask and getting chlamydia.
But every time I look at it, I just like, I can't, I laugh every time I see it. Every time.
Love it.
And then since we talked about what we do in the shadows, this is my other internet thing of the week. It says, if 2020 was a hat. Laszlo and his cursed witch hat.
Right. So. Fuck that cursed witch hat.
Low-key F 2020 for sure.
Fuck 2020. All the things that it's taken from us. You can find us everywhere at That More Thing in order to interact with us on the podcast, you know, comment on posts and stuff. We post funny things. You can also find me on Twitter. I am Maggie at Brain of Maggie.
And I'm Shannon at Shannon's Party.
And one of these days I used to know what number we were on.
We're at 250 this week.
250! Of That More Thing was Shannon and Maggie.
Bye!
I wanna take you to a cat.